And a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, I started a new series talking about freedom from religion, how to get free from religion. And that's a really odd thing for somebody to hear said from a pulpit. You would think people that work in pulpits would want more religion, because that's more people and more money rolling in, the more religion we have. But no, the God of the Bible wants us to have freedom from religion. And we talked about, in the first lesson, we talked about there's an organization in America called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we looked at their website, and we looked at some of the things that they propose, and we found out they really don't want freedom from religion. They actually support the atheist religion. And atheists really don't like it when you say that they have a religion, but they do. And when you really boil down what the Freedom From Religion Foundation is about, they just want opposition to the Christian God of the Bible. That's their goal. So the definition of religion. Religion is man or woman, you or I, doing things to either gain God's favor on your life or to assuage or get rid of his wrath. That's the definition of religion. That's what people do every day, every week in church. And religion, it's so funny. Religion can be so small and such a tiny thing, like, you know, I've got my little prayer beads and I'm just praying my prayers with these beads. Or if you want to get into the more extreme religions, you can get into the Viking religions. Those are fun. All they require is for you to die gloriously on the field of battle so you can join Odin and the other gods in Valhalla, and then you get to fight and die some more in the afterlife. So some are a little bit small, some are bigger. But what I told you in the first one is God wants you to have freedom from religion. And that's such, like I said, an odd statement. God wants me to have freedom from religion. And here's why. The definition, and you touched on it a minute ago, the definition of religion is you or I doing things to either get God's favor or to assuage his wrath. God's already done that. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. The God of the Bible wants us to have freedom from religion. And man loves his religion. And they love the works that come with religion. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I can't do the cross. It's already been done, right? I can't go climb up and die and pay for anybody's sins. That's not me doing things to get God's favor or assuage his wrath, is it? God's the one that came down. People want God's intervention all the time. Why does God do this? Why does God allow that to happen? The God of the universe put himself in a human body, came down here, and let us kill him, his created beings, so he could pay the price for our sins when he knew no sin. That's a pretty powerful intervention. And that's what gives us freedom from religion. Romans 3, turn a little bit to the left. Romans 3:24. God gives us something so much better than religion. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace, His doing, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is the opposite of religion. God gives grace and His work. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, His doing, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Why does God want you to have freedom from religion? because you've got a lot better deal. You've got God's righteousness, God's blood, God's works. In verse 28, he says, "Declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." God had to do it that way. He has to be holy. If He ceases to be holy, He ceases to be God, does He not? He has to remain holy and pay the price. And that's how He did it, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Where's your religion? You ask people why they're saved. Just ask that open-ended question. What is the first thing you're going to hear out of their mouth? Boasting. Religion. Boasting. Religion. I did this. My daddy did this. I go here. I do that. It is excluded. They need to hear the gospel. If you ask somebody why they're saved, then the first thing out of their mouth is boasting. Don't move on. Stay there at the gospel. By what law? Of works? Religion? Works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Why do I say God wants people to be free from religion and God wants less religious people? Because when you read the verses and you understand your Bible rightly divided, you understand God's on a completely different wavelength than every church in town. He's operating differently. The God of the Bible wants less religious people in the world. God, if His will was done, understand, He gives us free will. Man chooses. But God's will, if all men are going to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and follow the doctrine they're supposed to follow, then God's will is to shut down every religion on planet Earth. All of them. Shut it all down. Throw it in the dustbin of error for all time. That's what would happen if all men were saved and came to the knowledge of the truth. All religion would be thrown in the garbage. How did God do this? He did it through the cross. We understand that religion and works creates bondage. When God wants liberty and freedom, God ushered in 2,000 years ago a dispensation, the dispensation of His grace. I'm going to come down to planet Earth to my chiefest enemy. You find a lot of that in your Bible? What did Jesus say to His enemies in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Woe to you! God comes to His chiefest enemy, shows him grace, and says, I have a new message. I'm going to make you a new apostle. Paul says, what would you like me to do? God says, I'm going to tell you what you have to do. It's not about what I like here. I'm God. I'm dispensing my grace to you. Here's how it's going to be, Saul of Tarsus. And he ushers in this dispensation of grace. And Paul talks about it in Colossians 1. Information you can't find in prophecy, you can't find in other before this. Paul says, verse 25, Colossians 1, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. That means God changed something. We love to say God the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is. But God changes His dealings throughout time. Before the Old Testament, to the left of Exodus 19, God operated one way with humanity. To the right of Exodus 19, you have the law. Is it the same God? Well, one day we have Moses, and the day before we didn't. So God changes His dealings, and what Paul's talking about is starting with me, this mystery that God kept a secret, He revealed it through me. And He ushered in this dispensation of grace. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Folks, that's a lot better deal than religion. Christ in you and hope. Based on His grace, His work, and faith, and everything He did for you. You got a set of prayer beads that can beat that? I know Viking swords are cool, but you don't have an offer in the Viking religion that can beat that. Now, religious atheists, and atheism is a religion. It is a faith-based system like no other. They will be quick to point out to you when they oppose you, when they oppose any kind of faith in a God, they will say that all religion is learned. You learn it from people. And not only that, they can accurately predict what religion you're going to be a part of just by finding out where you live on the face of planet Earth. And that is a true statement. Religion is learned. I know that because atheism takes a long time to embrace that religion. It takes a long time to learn that and to believe that. But they say, and I read books by the opposition, and the atheists say, as a learned behavior, people's religion can be accurately predicted by the region of their parents and the place where they live. Therefore, it is no surprise that 77% of Americans are members of the Christian religion. Remember that. God wants all religion ended. Why do we have a Christian religion? 77% of Americans identify as Christian. 97% of Saudis are Muslim. 97%. Well, they have a king that rules their country, and it's kind of bad to oppose the king when the king's a Muslim, right? 97%. 95% of people that live in Thailand are Buddhist. Where you live, that's your religion. 80% of Indians are Hindu, and 85% of Sikhs follow the atheist religion. So you can look at where they live, and that's their religion. And the truth is, no matter what family you're born into, pretty much, I mean, I can say my kids were not born into a religious family, but that's pretty rare. But just about every family you're born into, and you can't control that, you're born into some kind of a religion. A family whereby you have people who do things religiously to either assuage God's wrath or gain His favor. By the way, atheists have deities too. We talked about Hawking's and all the different books. I mean, they have scriptures. Their holy book is The Origin of the Species by Darwin. So you're born into a religious system. Even in communist China, you're born into a system. Now, when communist China, they don't have a deity, so what they do is they make the state and the commune and the country the deity, and you do things and you follow works and things to support the state. So in a lot of ways, the state takes the place as God. But it is, in essence, a religious system. But he says, the author of this book goes on, he says, each religion claims to know the one true path. That's true. Atheists included, right? All religions say we know the one true path. But they cannot all be right. That's also accurate. To accept one religion means denying the others. That's also true. Atheists included there too. For example, a Christian finds the religious assertions of a Muslim silly or even dangerous. Yes. The Christian has no belief in the Muslim God. Yes. The Christian has no belief in the Muslim scriptures. Yes. Just like atheists. Each religious person is effectively an atheist, a non-believer, in the remainder of the world's religions. Any problem with that? That's all true, right? That's fully accepted in our public square. Except if you're Christian. You can be a Muslim, and everybody knows that's a Muslim, and he doesn't believe that, and he thinks that guy's wrong. That's fine. You can be Hindu in the public square, and they think, you know, that's wrong. That's fine. You go up there. Well, you saw it with Bernie Sanders in the hearing. Trump had a nominee, and you think that Christianity is the only way? You think that Muslims aren't saved? We don't need these kinds of people in our country. Oh, so there's one that's not allowed. But he said, I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who this country is supposed to be about. Oh, so every other person, religious person in this country whom you know doesn't believe the other religions, they're fine, but that guy's a problem. Just like the Freedom from Religion Foundation. It's not about religion. It's about opposition to the Christian God. But here's the thing about religion that this atheist gets absolutely right. He says religion is the world's most powerful institution. It has money, manpower, media, politicians on a leash, and devoted adherents will go so far as to kill on religious orders. Religion is firmly entrenched in a position of power, and he's got that absolutely right. Powerful on this planet. Religion everywhere. And the God of the Christian Bible wants that power broken in the lives of as many people as possible. But we see the power of religion. You see the exploding Muslims every now and again. I mean, that's sold out on your religion. I'm going to go blow myself up, kill as many people as possible to make my God happy. That's somebody who believes. It's not write a tithe check. A little bit harder. You got to build the bomb. You got to think about it. You got to go there. You got to press the thing and blow yourself into oblivion. That's somebody that's committed. We could use a little bit of no, just kidding. But religion is so powerful. Religion changes decisions people make on everything. Money, life, where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, what you're going to do with time. Religion has power over it. And God wants to break that power. God wants as few people religious as possible. Meanwhile, what's the situation on planet Earth right now? 2.2 billion people on the planet identify as members of the Christian religion. Yay, we're winning! No, God doesn't want a Christian religion. 2.2 billion people say, I'm a Christian religious. 1.5 billion Muslims. They're catching up. They're having more babies than we are. 1 billion Hindus. 1 billion smaller religions. 1 billion or so of the nuns, the atheist religion. So the situation on the planet's not very good if God wants people to stop being religious, is it? Got a lot of work to do. What about the claim that says all religions are essentially the same? They're all essentially the same thing. Now, I was trained in churchianity to get mad when I heard that. All religions are the same. That's not true. The Christian religion is the only right one. It's the only good one. I thought the God of the Bible wanted to end religions on this planet. Wouldn't that include the Christian religion as well? And that's what we're going to deal with moving on in this series. That's what we're going to deal with, is the difference between the Christian religion and grace and what God's dispensing. But in essence, if you boil it down, that statement that says all religions are essentially the same, it's true. I mean, they vary wildly in difference in the kind of their works and what kind of bondage they're going to put you on and how much power they have over your life and the different activities. But all religions are essentially the same thing. You have some kind of a cosmic order, even in atheism. You have the Big Bang. What a wild fairy tale. everything came from nothing, kind of, but then every piece of matter in the entire expanse of the trillions of light years of universe and everything was in a dot so small you couldn't even see it. And then it went boom! And now we're driving cars and going to college. We have flowers and birds. After all that dead space rock and matter got done banging off of each other, look at us! I don't have that much faith. Sorry. But there's in a religion, you have a cosmic order, you have a guiding force, you have rituals, you have traditions, and some kind of a promise of a reward, whether it be now or in the afterlife, but you just got to keep following it. You got to keep doing. You keep perpetuating. Keep on doing. Works, deeds, rites, rituals. You know, I watch baseball from time to time, and you see some of these religious batters get up, and it's like, every time, they're crossing something and doing something, kissing something. I was watching the one guy on our team, it's like, he does all this stuff every time he comes up to bat. It's like, the one season, he was batting .125 through the first month and a half. Like, maybe you need to change up your ritual. And then he's in the World Series hitting home runs. He's doing the same stuff. It's like, did you ever think that maybe none of that matters? Because you do it when you're hitting .125. But every religion has something like that. You know, if you're part of the Catholic religion, which is a big portion of the Christian religion, you're literally eating a piece of bread. And you think it literally turns into Jesus' body inside you. And you drink the wine and you think it turns into literally Jesus' blood. And that's what you're trusting to save you. That's religion. That's works. It's rites and rituals. Kabbalah. You've seen the celebrities. They got a red string tied behind or on their wrist. Hindus speak in tongues just like American Pentecostals do. And it's just all stuff in the flesh. We have Scientologists now. I don't know if you ever run into any, but they audit you. They have to try to get the engrams out of you. That Xenu put it. Is it Xenu, the bad guy in Scientology? But yeah, you have to be audited and terminate your engrams. But regardless, whatever religion, whether it be an Eastern religion or something down the street, it's works. It's doing stuff. It's works in your flesh. And religion loves to give you commands. Religion loves to tell you what to do. In a lot of ways, we like to be told what to do. That's the majority of what people get when they go to church. I want to go there, I want to listen to a 40-minute homily where the guy tells me how to live my life. Then I'll forget it on the way out the door and think about how smart I was. But that's what we do. We want to come, somebody tell us what to do, okay, we'll try that maybe, but never mind. It's religion commands, it creates judgment, and it sucks from you, it consumes out of your life, it takes your time and your money, and it guilts people and puts burdens on people. That's what religion does, no matter what religion you're in. And God says, I've got a different deal. I've got something else to offer. Does grace to you sound like consuming of you? I'm going to offer grace, and it's just suck you up, consume you. That's not grace. God says, I'm dispensing grace to the entire planet. Does grace condemn you? No. Does grace put a guilt trip on you or a burden on you? Then grace can't be religion, can it? Religion keeps your flesh working and working and doing until we bury your cold religious corpse according to the religious traditions of your religion. That's what religion does. Grace says, I've got a better deal. I've got a different offer. So yeah, all religions are basically the same. They have a system of works. They have a system of performance. And every religion also has sacred texts, what their scriptures are. I mentioned for the atheists, it's Charles Darwin, Stephen Hawking. That's their sacred texts. For Muslims, they have the Quran and what's the other one? The Hadith or something like that. Jews have the Torah. and they know you're an idiot for believing that faker, Jesus Christ, and that New Testament. Christian religionists, which are the problem, are a big problem. Christian religionists have the same book we do. And they make such a mess of that book. They do such a disservice to the God they claim to serve. They guide people everywhere except the part where God offers grace. And God offers freedom from religion. Did you ever notice that going to church? How little you ever heard of that Paul guy? Every week. Where are we at? M, L, or J? Or maybe we'll be in Malachi this week if the collection was light. Every point away. Don't look here. It's nothing to see here. Move along. Right where God says, I want to break religion off of you. I want to give you grace by my work. Honestly, I didn't really like reading Paul. There was one teacher in our Christian school, and they cycled when they gave us these Bible studies. And this one guy, he was the most boring speaker I have. Only second most boring speaker I have ever heard in my life. And he would come in and, let's look at Paul today, what Paul has to say. Now, he didn't rightly divide, but that's where he wanted, and it's just boring, boring, boring. And then here comes the other guy in. We're going to go to 1 Kings today, boys. We're like, yeah, that guy's here. But so little of Paul, and I'd never understood it. You're talking about collecting dots. You know, church 3-4 times a week, Christian school 5 days a week, youth group, extra activities. I collected a lot of dots. And I walked out of there dumb as a brick because I had not connected any of them. But Christian religionists take this book that is supposed to be rightly divided, that is supposed to produce salvation, that is supposed to produce faithful men teaching others also, and they create, with that God's name, a religion that damns just as many souls as all the other ones do. Well, it's not possible. You can't do a wrong thing with the Bible. I asked that question once. Do you think it's possible to do a wrong thing with Bible verses? And I saw heads going like this, and I went, ugh. That's when you know, Houston, we have a problem here. You can't do anything wrong with the Bible. Romans 1, right after your verse earlier, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I can stand here and hold the truth and do wicked things and teach awful, rotten things all morning. That's not possible. Yeah. God, on one page of this book, commands a whole nation, do not eat this, do not eat that, do not eat this, do not eat that. If you eat that, it's an abomination. On another page of this book, he tells me, anybody says anything like that to you, they're preaching doctrines of devils. So yeah, I can make a big hot mess with this book. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul's talking about people who are corrupting the word of God. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So yeah, you can make a good big hot mess with the word of truth. I know that because it's happened. We have a Christian religion. How ridiculous is that when God's offering grace through his work, faith in everything, what he did, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we say, thanks God, I'm going to keep doing my works. I'm going to keep trusting my church attendance and my tithing and my prayer beads and lighting candles and saying prayers and burying saints in the yard. How did we get there? Well, all religions teach morality, some kind of morality, right? Even the Vikings, they have some kind of morality in their battle. They're all the same. All religions are essentially the same. That is a true statement. Why are they preaching righteousness? Well, who invented all these religions? Let's look over at 2 Corinthians. God dispenses grace, freedom, liberty, a new gospel through a new apostle, a new offer to mankind. And the man that got that dispensation from God, chosen to be an apostle, how did the end of his life look? How did the end of his ministry look? All those which are in Asia be turned away from me. Only Luke is with me. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. How did that happen? 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 14. And no marvel. Remember, all religions are the same. They all preach goodness. They all preach good works, some kind of it. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of darkness and heavy metal music. No. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as what? Religion. Religious ministers preaching goodness and righteousness. And this is how we're going to make good men better. Ministers of righteousness. How's that going to turn out for them? Well, they're going to be successful here on this planet. We can see that by the statistics. But their end shall be according to their works. So all religions are the same. Everybody, there's religions all over the planet, and they all have the same inventor. Zoroastrianism. Who's your daddy? Satan. Hindus. Who's your daddy? Satan. Shinto. Who's your daddy? Satan. What about members of the Christian religion? Oh, we don't like that, do we? Members of the Christian religion, who's your daddy? It can't be him. God says, I want all religion in it. I want grace, I want faith, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christian religion, holding the truth in unrighteousness, who's your daddy? Same guy. Satan. Ministers of righteousness. Holding the word, holding the truth in unrighteousness. The God of the Christians wants the Christian religion stopped. Ended. How do I know that? Look over at Romans 4. Romans 4, 4. Now, time element, God changed something. God dispensed something new. Paul's telling you about it. Remember, he said he got the mystery. Now, to him that worketh, well, that's religion. Work, 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 work. Do, 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 do. Now, to him that worketh, now to him that's religious, is the reward, ooh, not reckoned. Of grace. We all know we need some grace. No matter how religious we are, we know we fall short, right? Now to him that's religious, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I don't want to show up upstairs short on the bill. I know me. All you guys are probably not much better than me. I don't want to show up owing anything. I need the bill paid. God says, you want to work? You're racking up debt. You want to be religious? You're racking up debt. You want to show up and have the account in the clear? Grace. That's your offer. Including members of the Christian religion. Why do we keep doing this? Why do humans love their religion? why can't we stop? Why can't we just say, yeah, I like that deal. Grace, I like that. We're so evolved. Why, a few billion years ago, we were swinging from trees eating bananas. And now, you know, that's just our distant uncle, that monkey, right? We should be smarter. We've got rockets and airplanes. They're building a new hypersonic airplane right now. Can make it from London to New York City in 2 hours. 5,000 miles an hour. We can figure that out, but we can't figure out, maybe God wants us to stop being religious in a 2,000-year-old book. Why do we have such a problem with that? Romans 1 talks about it. Romans 1. Now understand, Romans 1, at this point in Romans 1, Paul is starting back at the beginning of time and giving people a history lesson on how things started and how we got to where we are. And it talks about how people don't want to retain the real God in their knowledge. They don't want to think about Him. They don't like Him. They don't want Him. And they do. People love gods. They love their gods. They love their deities, but they don't want the real one. And this is not a new thing. It goes all the way back to Romans 1. You know, we think we're so smart now. I don't have time for God. We have science. Oh, yeah, we talked about that science in your fairy tale that you tell. Believe this. Look at the worldwide statistics. Part of the problem is God is offering a permanent solution to our problem in a way that we can't see, taste, touch, or feel. What is the world we live in? Five senses, right? See, taste, touch, or feel. A permanent solution that we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch, and not only that, that we can't do. We like to have control. Our flesh does not like that. Romans 8:23 says or 8:24 says we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Anybody like that? I love to be patient and I love to hope for something I can't see. We don't like that. Our flesh doesn't like that. I want something I can hold on to and trust. Where's my beads? Where's my this's? Where's my temple? Where's my religion? I want something that I can do. No. God says faith. Trust me. Trust something you can't see. Who wants that if you're a material girl in the material world? Does that date me there? But that's our flesh. Our flesh operates here in the now, in the visible, in the tangible. And we want a system of works that works in that system. See, do, taste, and touch things that our flesh can know that because I crossed myself and kissed this ring, I'm going to get a hit this time. Flesh. God offers salvation by grace through faith. You do nothing. You trust me completely. The deal is done. Not only is it done, it's not a temporary deal. It's permanent. I seal you until the day of redemption. I can know that every single day of my life that I walk around this planet, I am sealed, I'm saved. Nothing can change that. And you preach that and people say, nope, speaking through 10,000 watts to my voice to the sea of multitude of people who are coming and saying, I just want to be done with this religion. I'm tired. I'll take this offer from God. And it's not happening, is it? Religion deals with